Today, according to the teaching of the Word of God, is the Lord's Day. It's the first day of the week. And it's a holy day. It is holy unto the Lord. It's a Christian Sabbath, if you want to think of it like that. It's a seventh part of our week, wherein we are to serve God and to give to rest and refreshment to our bodies in rest, and to worship in prayer and in song and in the house of God on Sunday, the first day of the week. But according to human tradition and past year's practice, we say this is Mother's Day. Now, of all the special days, I don't know, there's something special to me about Mother's Day, and I hold no resentment, although I rarely speak a special message on days like this. But today, I do want to preach to you, or teach you from the Word of God, some things about this matter of motherhood. Now, my own mother, of course, passed away after I became a member of this church. Pastor of this church. I think she was 82, if I remember correctly. My father passed away when I was just a 19 or 20 year old boy. And he wasn't nearly as old then as I am now, although I thought he was an old man then, you see, before he passed away. But he went suddenly, and so we could go through this congregation, and some mothers and fathers have gone on early in life, and some have lingered to midlife, and some are still living. How many of you can raise your hand this morning and say by that, my mother is still alive? Let's see how many. Oh, there's a great number of you. My God bless you. And you can honor your mother this morning only as you honor your God. Now, I maintain that the person who will not take the time on Mother's Day Sunday to recognize that it is the Lord's Day and will honor God by being in the house of God, then they don't have much honor for their mother, because a person that doesn't care anything about God doesn't care too much about their mother. You can just put that down. Because the Word of God teaches us that the first loyalty and the first allegiance and the first demand upon us and the first priority is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're Christians, we ought to recognize that. And yet I thank God I had a Christian mother, and I thank God for the memory I have of her. She's been gone a long time, and yet until long, long after I was grown and married, of course she lived with me quite a lot after we had children, great big children of our own. And yet I can look back and thank God for her memory and some of the early memories that I can have of her this morning. In my mind's eye, I can see her as oft times I saw her as a child. I can see her sitting churning like they used to with the old homemade dasher, you know, in the old crock churn. And she'd be churning the butter, and you know how it'd splatter, the milk would splatter out, and they'd have to put a dish rag of some kind around the top. I have seen her sit with the Bible, the Word of God, open in one hand, and the churn dasher going up and down, and I've seen the specks, the milk specks, on the Bible pages where she read the Word of God as she churned the milk. Because she loved the Lord. I know she did. I've heard her read, and I've heard her pray, and I've heard her shout the glories of God. And there were many others like her. Some of you can remember, perhaps some of you had mothers you can remember like that too. And so first of all, I say thank God this morning for Christian godly mothers. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, godly mothers, according to the Bible. Or God-fearing mothers, if you want to put it like that. Will you turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs? Now, I've used this in a funeral, when I preach the funeral of a mother. I don't know how many times I've used this in funerals. And I've heard others use it, and I've heard different ones use it as a basis for Mother's Day sermons. But that's neither here nor there. The Bible still remains the same, and we will never change it. We'll come back to it always. I want to read from the 10th verse through to the end of the chapter. That there are some things here I want to give you. I want to put out to you about God-fearing mothers. Now, if you're a mother this morning and you can't measure up to this, then, brother, I pray God will bless you and stir you and shake you until you go home and get on your knees and say, by the grace of God, I'll do my best to be a God-fearing Bible mother, like the pattern is laid down in the pages of the eternal Word of God. In the 10th verse of the last chapter of Proverbs 31, we read, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. In other words, she worked and made clothes for them. They used to do that, you remember. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now let me assure you, there's far more contained in those 10 or 11 verses of Scripture than I could possibly speak to you in one or two or three or a dozen messages. Before I begin to give you some thoughts, and I'll have to give you these thoughts with very little comment because they won't bear in the time we have. They will not bear much discussion. But I found where some man had written, and he used thoughts from this chapter which I've read, or the portion I've read from, and that under the title of God's Ideal Mother. I want to read you what he said, just two or three paragraphs. The toughest, most difficult job God ever assigned to any individual is that of being a wife and mother. And I'm going to say amen to that, because I know that's the truth. If these other men won't say amen, they ought to. To make clear what he expects of such a person, the Almighty has given us in Proverbs 31 a picture of an ideal mother. And he says, this writer says, she has seven characteristics. But I'm going to give you more than that, and there are far more here than I shall be able to give you. She seeks always the good of her husband. Therefore, he could trust her. And he gives the verses, 10:30. She is industrious and therefore has no time to be a busybody. And he gives verses there too. She is constantly looking after the welfare of her family. She has good judgment when it comes to the financial well-being of her family. She spends time in ministering to the needs of those outside her family. She is honorable, wise, and kind. And last of all, she is one who firmly fears or reverences the Lord. Such a mother will be rewarded, for both her children and her husband will rise up and call her blessed. Mother, are you like this? If not, let me get this straight. If not, why not? How many in this audience this morning will raise your hand saying, I am a mother? Let me see your hand. Let me see how many mothers there are here. All right. Quite a sizable portion of this congregation. All right. I am speaking to you particularly just now, and I ask you, in the words of this man who wrote the words I just read, can you say that you are such a mother as this? And if you can't, why can't you say it? I know some of your wives are not mothers. Maybe you one day will be mothers. Many of the same things would hold true to the wife, even though they were to be committed to childlessness. And by the way, I've just got to tell you this, for the second time in my short little old life, I'm a great-grandpa. Because Siri, whom most of you know, Sue's oldest daughter, has a fine girl. She has a girl and a boy now. I've got a great-grandson and a great-granddaughter. But we'll get away from that and back to this. Can you stand before Almighty God this morning as a mother and say, Lord, I believe that in the light of this word, which has been read from the book of God, I believe I'm a God-fearing Bible kind of a mother. If you can't, then you'd better do something about it. I know that we're living in a day that's different to the days when I was a kid, and that's been several years back. I know that motherhood was counted and looked upon differently then to what it is by most of the people today. I never heard, when I was growing up as a child at home, I never heard of such a thing as an abortion. I never did. I've known of women losing their children. And I've known of premature births and all of that. But I don't know that I, even growing up until I was up to high school age, I don't know whether I ever heard the word abortion used or not. And certainly I didn't know what it meant until I grew up, you know, big enough to learn what it meant. And yet today, back then, sometimes it was a very, very common thing to look this way and that way and the other way across the country, and there'd be 10 over here and 12 kids over there and 13, 14 over there, and I had one kinswoman that was the mother of 15 children. Oh, you see, I'd hate to have that many kids running around. That's the difference in you and the kind of mother that God's talking about here. Today, they don't want any children, and they've got an easy way to get rid of them, and they've got a legal way to do it, and that's to kill them before they're born. And one of the most shameful things that ever happened to the people of America, so-called civilized people, and one of the things that'll bring down the judgments of Almighty God on the heads of this nation, perhaps as all the wars of the past have never done, as a curse from Almighty God, is the legalization of abortion or killing the unborn. Brother, it's wrong. It's murder. And you know it is. And any man, I don't care who it is, if it's the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court who helped to rule on the thing, I'll look him in the eye and I'll say you a lie if you say it's not murder. because I can take the word of God and prove to you that it is. And you think that God's going to smile on a nation of murderers? And so let's think about it. But I want to get back and give you some of the characteristics of a God-fearing mother, a Bible mother. And I've just sought out some of the view here, and I hope you will understand. I'm not in any sense trying to exhaust this study. I can't do it. First of all, I want you to notice her price. The price of a God-fearing, Bible-believing, Bible-type mother. How much is she worth? Now, I know there's some mothers today, and I've seen some that I didn't think were worth 15 cents a dozen. Sloppy, lazy, dirty, filthy, dragging around, gossiping, and they didn't help themselves or anybody else and let their kids run wild and do what they please. Now, we can't, after our kids grow up, we can't be responsible for what to do. We understand that. The best we can do is to try to do what God said, bring them up the way they should go. But we can pray for them and we can set an example before them. And that's where the trouble has come with so many of us. And I'm not only speaking about mothers, but daddies too, brother. Mothers and daddies are not setting the right example before their children this morning. And I'll tell you, we're going to reap the harvest of the thing because payday someday, as sure as we're here today. Payday's coming. All right, what's the price? What's a good, godly, God-fearing, Bible-believing mother worth? All right, let's see what the word God said. Her price is far above rubies. Verse 10. Now, rubies are valuable, brother. You get a basket full of rubies and see how much wealth you've got. Rubies are precious stones. They represent wealth, vast wealth. Only the wealthy are able to own and to wear and to keep in their possession numerous rubies as precious stones, and I wouldn't know how to count their value. And yet God said that this woman he's talking about here, her price, the price of one woman, is more than rubies. You couldn't get enough diamonds and silver and gold and rubies and precious stones and heap them up together to pay for the value, the real worth of a godly mother that meets this pattern after the word of God here this morning. Thank God for a mother that can measure up to the picture, that can go by this lifestyle. Let's get laid down the word of God. But I can't tear there. I'll have to go on. I want you to check these things down or think of them as I mention them, and I'm trying to give them to you in a way that maybe they'll be a little easier to remember. Here, first of all, then, we see that her price is above rubies. But in the second place, we see in this scripture her purity. A God-fearing, Bible-believing, God-honoring mother is morally pure. Now you put it down. Because if she isn't morally pure, if she isn't upright, if her life isn't above reproach, she can't measure up to this. Oh, you say, I've done things that are wrong. Yes, a lot of people have. But God will forgive your sins, and if you've gone to the Lord and poured out your heart in confession to God, then he's blotted out this wrong, and you don't stand guilty anymore. But you just keep on going down the path of immorality and sin. And brother, you'll lead more souls to hell than anybody here will ever lead to Christ. God says that this God-fearing mother is pure. In other words, she's faithful and pure in her character. She's faithful to her husband. I want to read you in the 10th verse, it said her price is above, or said, who can find a virtuous woman? Now, I want you to understand, when we speak of virtue, so often we mean just sexually immoral, see? But the word virtue and virtuous goes far beyond that. It means to be within of such a character of purity in thought and word and deed as to be counted a virtuous person. a clean, upright, chaste individual. And so this 10th verse says that she's virtuous, a God-fearing mother is virtuous. In the 11th verse says the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Well, he's not afraid to trust her. He don't have to be jealous of her. He's not afraid she's going to run off with some other man. He's not afraid of her morals. If she be a godly, God-fearing, Bible-believing, God-honoring, virtuous woman, her husband can trust her. Brother, I'd hate to know I couldn't trust my wife, and I'll say before Almighty God, I've been guilty of a lot of things against her, but I'll tell you, and I'm going to say this, it may embarrass her, but she'll get over it. I mean it. She's one of the best things God ever brought across my path. You know why? Because the day I met her, the course of my life turned, and the course of my life changed, and I was in a bad way. And had God not sent her across my pathway, I don't know where I would be today. And yet, from the day that I first began to know her until this present day, God bless your soul, I've trusted her. I've trusted her. The heart of her husband trusts or believes in her. Can you do that? Can you do that? Oh, mother, this morning, can you, because you're a Christian, because you love God, because you believe the word of God, can your husband trust you? Better think about it. All right. I could give you many, many other scriptures. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and so on. All right, go to the third thing quickly. The God-fearing mother, according to the Bible, we see here her patience in the performance of her duty. Now you'll notice that all of these thoughts I have begun with the same letter. Her price, her purity. Third, her patience in the performance of her duty. I want to read three verses here again to you. The 12th verse says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. What's she talking about? Her husband. Verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her camel goeth not out by night. That means she's one of these mothers that she's not afraid to do a little work at night if she never catches up. My, how often I've seen it. How often I've seen my mother sit till bedtime with a needle and a thread and a thimble and a garment and mend the socks and mend the pants of her children, her boys, and her husband, and sew up the rips in the dresses of the girls and take care of the things around the home. And then again, in the 19th verse, said she layeth her hand to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Now, the spindle refers to the old spinning wheel. You know, I've got a replica of one, a man up in the mountains of Kentucky made for me, just like one of the old spinning wheels. I've got one at home, only smaller than that. But he made them as a hobby, and I bought one of them. And I've seen some of the older ones, and you have too. I've seen a few of them work long ago when the women could spin their own thread and cloth, or weave their own cloth, and they did that, don't you see? I've heard them speak about it a lot of times. But in other words, a God-fearing mother, a Bible-type mother, is a mother with patience in the performance of her duty, says a mother. Oh, dear mother, this morning, be patient. And when the little fella comes around, you're pulling at your apron strings, don't push them aside with unkindness and lack of feeling and compassion, because it won't be long until you be like Mrs. Hall and me and some of the rest of you. You'll sit down at home alone, and you'll think of the days when they were pulling at the apron strings of their mother around the fireside. They're gone now. They're gone now. Just the joy of having one once in a while. John came by night before last and spent the night with us, and then took off early for his home in Virginia. And so The thing is, a godly mother that fears the Lord and honors God and lives according to the Bible is a mother whose patience will wrap itself around the lives of her children and her family, and she will be something special, sort of, to the entire crowd. And if the mother in your home is not just a little special, there's something wrong. All right, I rush on. In the fourth place, I want you to take notice of her pity. A God-fearing mother, her pity. It shows here in verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. My, how often I've seen my mother go down the road to carry maybe a basket of eggs or something, or to help her neighbor. Maybe the neighbor was in need, or maybe the neighbor needed help about some of the sick children. And maybe there were two or three ill in the home, and somebody had to sit up with them. And I've seen them go. I've seen her go to them. And oftentimes I've seen them come to her and to us. What were they doing? They were showing the Spirit of God, the pity that God expects His Bible-believing, God-fearing mothers to have. Not only patience, but pity. All right, let's go on quickly. This scripture reveals more than that. It reveals her person, something about her person. Now, I spoke a while ago about that lazy, slow and sloppy, slipshod kind of a wife that was filthy and dirty. And you see one once in a while like that, and you'll go into a home, and when you go away, you say, my, if my wife was like that, I'd get a stick after her. To let the house go and let things go to the filth and the uncouth condition that they will fall into. A godly, God-fearing mother loves her home, and she'll try to make it look right and take care of it. But more than that, my friend, she'll keep herself looking like something. Not like something the dogs drug up, but like a woman ought to look. And I don't mean everybody's a beauty queen. I don't mean everybody has to be able to win a beauty contest. That's not the question. But a woman who won't pay any attention to her own appearance before the world and try to make her person look attractive enough to the world, at least so as to be pleasing, there's something wrong with her. Now, I'm not talking about smearing on all this goo that a lot of them smear on you and think they're pretty. They try to dress finer than their neighbors and all the other people, and they're going to have something new every time they turn around, you know, because maybe there'll be somebody else at church that hadn't got a new dress last week or a new some new slippers or something, and I'm going to be the head of the bunch. I'm not talking about that attitude. I'm talking about a person who is clean and keeps her person clean and attractive before her neighbors and her friends, so that they're not ashamed to come into her home and she's not ashamed to go out into the public, because somebody says they may not all be able to buy and find clothes, but surely anybody could dig up a cake of soap and a wash rag. And yet some of them, you've seen, you know, forgot that it started, that they were making soap many years ago. And so we see God describing her person here in the 22nd verse. All right, the sixth thing about this God-fearing mother is her perception. Now, what is perception? It's the outlook. It's being able to understand, to see, to perceive what's taking place. Now, when it comes to that, my mother was a woman of perception, because all in the world she had to do, when I came in on Sunday evening and she said, son, have you been to that creek or that river in swimming like I told you not to do? And it didn't take me very long to learn there was no need for me to stand up and put on that little innocent look on my face and say, "No, Mother, I haven't," because she knew right then I was lying if I did. And she could look into my eyes and said, "Listen, you've been to that creek, or you've been to that river, or you've been where I told you not to go." And I just had to come clean with it. Now, I had a brother, God bless him, he'd just stand up and deny it, and when, after I'd already confessed it, he'd still deny it. But he couldn't get away with it. And you know, when we deny something like that, then how often I've heard Mother say, "All right, I'm not going to whip you for doing the thing that I told you not to do, but I am going to whip you for lying to me. And don't you ever let anybody make you believe she didn't do it either." She knew how to do it. And so the godly, God-fearing woman or wife or mother is a person of perception. Listen to the 18th verse. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. She knows. She's got enough sense to understand and to see into this thing that what she's doing is right. And I'm old-fashioned enough to believe that you women here this morning who are mothers have enough good common sense to know that what I'm preaching to you out of this book is the truth and that these things are true. I believe that you know that. And so it's between you and the Lord whether you do it or not. All right, I hurry on because I'll not get through. The seventh thing I want you to note is her perseverance. You see it there in verse 18. You see it in verse 19. She lays her hand to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. In other words, she's a working woman. She works. I'm not talking about the woman in the office. I'm not talking about the woman that now I heard them state yesterday that they're getting around to this ERA stuff, you know, this equal opportunity business among men and women, and that the mines now, every time they hire three men, they've got to hire one woman. That thing came from the pits of hell. That whole idea. You know that. I'm not against women. I believe in women having an equal opportunity. But I'll tell you, God didn't make woman to go down into the pits of the mines and work among a bunch of men. He made woman to be a wife and a mother and a keeper at home. And the saddest day that ever came to our nation, my friend, I've seen it because I'm older than most of you, not all, but most of you here this morning, and I have seen it. The saddest day that's ever come to our nation is the day when the woman left the home and left her children under the care of somebody else and went out into public life for career. Now, I know they have to do it sometimes. They're left alone and they've got nobody else to do it for them. And there's exceptions to the case, but I'm talking about the perseverance of the woman, who will work at home, who's not afraid to put her hands in the dishwater. You know, so many of them are afraid to get dishwater hands. So the soap and detergent companies have played that up, you know, the ivory liquid and all this stuff, you know, and new and better ivory. And it'll make your hands look so pretty. Well, brother, I'll tell you, my mother washed dishes with a great, great big piece of homemade lye soap. She made the soap herself. And it may have given her dishwater hands, but they were precious hands to me, and they lay up on my fevered brow many a long night when I lay very, very sick as a child. And I heard her footfall through the room, and that rough hand lay on my brow in tenderness. And I believed in her. I believed in her. I knew she loved God. I knew she loved me. And the way some are today, the children don't know whether their mothers care anything about them or not. All right, let's go a little further. This book here tells us of her purpose. Now, I wish I could speak of all these things. Verse 27 tells us what the purpose is. She looketh well to the ways of her household. The purpose God had when he gave to Adam the woman Eve, took a rib from Adam's side and made a woman. He said that she was to be a helpmeet. And then I could go on down and show you another place. It's Titus 2, verses 4 to 5, where Paul tells Titus to teach the older women, the older women, how to teach and what to teach the younger women, that they are to be keepers at home and look after the affairs of their homes. Now, I'm not preaching some old-fashioned, old fogey backwoods notion. I'm preaching the Bible to you, what God said about it. And it's up to you whether you want to live by it or not. The purpose of a God-fearing woman is to look after her household, her loved ones, her children, and to fill her place. And like it's the purpose of her husband to go out and work all day hard in the field, in the mine somewhere, to make the living and bring home the food. All right, the ninth thing quickly is her place. And I've already touched upon that just now in the thought that's just gone before. Her place is as a homekeeper. That's the place God gave to woman. Not to go down into the mines, not to leave her husband and children and put her kids under some babysitter over here and go down and have a career and not let her family interfere with her career. Now, I know that lots of them do it, but I'm talking about what God said about it and what God did about it and how he set it up. See, I'm not responsible for that. Her place is to be a homekeeper. That's the place of a woman, to be a homekeeper. I don't mean stay at home all the time. No, I'm not talking about that. I don't mean not to have any privileges. I don't mean not to be a partner. I don't mean not to share with the husband, but to be a keeper at home. That is to keep the home like it ought to be. All right, quickly. Her praise, and with this I'm going to have to close. Her praise is told in this scripture. Now, that praise is threefold. First, she'll be praised by her husband, verse 28. You look there. I'll not take time to read it. Such a woman as this will have the praise of her husband. Secondly, she'll be praised by her children. Do your children praise you today as a mother? Can your children bless your name as their dear mother and send you flowers on Mother's Day and or a card that says you're the dearest mother in the world? Well, brother, that's something that touches the heart of a woman, don't you know that? Who's worked hard and changed their little diapers and taken care of them when they was growing up and stood as our mothers did over the wash tub. They didn't have the washing machines and the automatic stuff then. So this kind of a mother will be praised by our children. They'll thank God for such a mother. And then verse 31 said, let her own works praise her in the gates. Boy, you can't hide her works. The kind of mother she's been, that'll live on after she's gone. And the word of God in verse 29 says that among them all, she excels them all. Pick out any woman of a career in the world you want to. I don't care what her career is. She may be a writer. She may be an office secretary. She may be a career woman of some other kind. And yet I say to you that this woman that measures up to the picture God has given in this scripture this morning, God says she excels them all. She's more wonderful than all of them. And verse 31 makes it plain that she's going to be rewarded. God bless her heart. She'll be rewarded. It's not all in vain. It's not all for nothing. Because there'll come a day when she'll be rewarded in the presence of God for the works that she's done. And it's reward enough to, on this earth, see her children go out and serve the Lord when she's tried to teach them the ways of the Lord. Are you a Bible-believing, God-honoring, God-fearing mother this morning? Then you get up on Sunday morning, get your kids together and get to church and get to Sunday school. A lot of them didn't do that this morning. A lot of them won't do it next Sunday morning. And they're not doing right. They're sinning against God by the failure to do so. And one day, there'll be a curse of sorrow on your life that you look back and regret 1,000 times, and perhaps with 1,000 tears, bitter tears that shed, that you'd done so, that you'd taken a little time to be a God-fearing mother long ago.